This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site. Site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Kevin Hagelin, whose voice is still a little shaky at the moment. He's doesn't even have a microphone. That's how ill-prepared Kevin is for today's show. Usually, Alec, it's me. Usually it's
Why
me.
Why did he move the microphone
going on
all
over
the way
here.
Over there?
Jeez. Were you going to say the microfiche? The microfiche?
I was going to say the microwave.
all right, so the show's ready, though. We are ready to rock now as the KNC Masterpiece has finally made it to your ear holes. You've been waiting all morning for us to be on radio so that we could talk about this stuff.
Now,
Kevin...
Can we lay out a disclaimer?
In the 10 o'clock right here, it says Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl in all caps with 8 exclamation points. And then it says, seriously, though, what did you see from the new guys?
Okay, because that was sarcastic. I'm hoping we can set this disclaimer. I think we all think that the Raiders suck.
Yes.
And you beat the crap out of a team that I think sucks. Now, can we have a reasonable conversation? Because I feel like every single time the Cowboys win, the Cowboys, blah, 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 blah. All right, we're setting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders equal not good. Now, hopefully we can go about our day.
If you can't respect what the Cowboys did last night,
you
shouldn't talk ball. If you can't be happy with what the Cowboys did last night, you must live a miserable life. Like, that's where I am at this point, in that you should celebrate victories.
Yes.
While also understanding this chart right here.
Oh.
If you want to look on the fan cam right now, you can go check it out on all your socials and stuff. Or you can follow me on
the YouTube.
Check me, the YouTube, 1053thefan.com/fancam. I think that's what it is. And so you go, what is it, Kevin?
No.
Alec, what is it? Give me the letters.
It's 1053 The Fan on YouTube.
There you go.
And then Dallas Fan Cam on Twitch.
It's pretty close. I was pretty close with all those.
Not really.
Y'all know where to be, all right? Mm-hmm. So right here I have this little chart. It's a handy little chart, okay? Right here on the top it says elite, okay? Right below that it says above mediocre. I've discussed this.
Huh.
Below that it says mediocre. Mm. Then it says sub-mediocre and bad.
Mm.
All right, those are the five areas. Right now, you are here. You are sub-mediocre.
Mm.
But you've proven you're not bad because you've beaten all the bad teams.
Because the Raiders are bad?
The Raiders are bad.
Okay.
You've beaten all the bad teams, so you are sub-mediocre, and you have work to do to get to mediocre. And then if you do even better at that work, you might even be able to get to above mediocre. Last night was a fun game, though, for people who wanted to watch a team not be bad. And they weren't bad last night. They were good. They were better than a bad team. So I'm going to take what they did last night and be excited about it today, because that's the fun part of this thing. I respect what they did. They got to go beat a bad opponent. They had to be more physical. They had to be sharper. They were last night against a bad opponent. They did all the things the correct way. This is the KNC Masterpiece. Corey Majors alongside Kevin Hagelin and the infamous Alec Medford.
Hey, at least he showed up to work.
That's a shot at Peyton.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So there you go. 877-881-1053. Text in your feelings on last night's game and the new fellows. How did you feel about them? Do you feel like the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl now?
No.
Okay.
But that's mainly because I just saw your chart. So I was.
Does that chart seem real? Does that Bobby? Did that chart seem reasonable?
Absolutely.
Whenever you look at the where the Cowboys stand in things.
Yeah, I like the idea of the way you described it. You know, war wins above replacement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and like 100 is there.
Yeah,
I think we need to have an NFL scale called WAC.
Okay,
where it's wins above Cowboys.
Okay,
like are you good? You're above the Cowboys.
Oh,
if you're not good,
goodness,
you're below them, and you're on the WAC scale.
Okay, and if you are, if
this
you're
is
even
the greatest
with them,
football
you're a zero.
Idea I've heard
you are,
in
you are
10
just
years.
As WAC as they are.
This is genius. I love this. This is a great idea, Bobby. I appreciate what he's doing here.
But it was so good that I almost forgot what we were actually supposed to talk about, because now I'm just thinking about that. All right,
charts
from the 2-1-0. Those are morons who really can't be happy about a win after the season we've been having.
I agree.
Quinnen Williams is him. Now, we can talk specifically about Quinnen Williams, of course, or if you wanted to go across all of the new defensive players out there, what did you see, what did you think about the new guys? With, of course, I understand that most of the attention is going to go to Quinnen Williams and DeMarvion Overshown.
Quinnen Williams added pressure. You know, the things of being contagious, like the idea that something can be contagious. You see somebody do something that you've been wanting to do, and you're like, awesome, I can do that too. It felt like he and Kenny Clark and Osa, the guys in the middle, said, we can all push. We can win our one-on-one battles. Most of us can actually beat some of these two-on-one battles, so guess what? Here we go. And so the interior did that. That fired up everybody else, Kevin. So I think the addition of Quinnen Williams, him being able to get integrated into this thing in this bye week was a good thing for him, too. But he was motivated last night, too. So that Quinnen Williams being the key for last night, loved what I saw out of him. There was a moment last night, Kevin, where I was like, has Logan Wilson played a snap yet?
Right.
And so I went to go look. I was like,
I agree with that.
I was like, where is he? And he had not made a single defensive play at that point.
Yeah.
That it had been logged, at least. And then as soon as I put my phone down, it was right before the second half, he made a tackle. And I was like, okay, well, there he is. All right, that's good to see that he didn't miss that tackle. That's nice. Kenneth Murray played better last night because of the additions, I believe. He had a better night last night in a lot of different areas. I'm happy with that. And then having Hooker back was awesome, too.
Okay, and I want to talk more about that as well, because obviously Jerry mentioned that quite a bit in his interview with Sean, RJ, Bobby, who showed up, and Aiden. So
and Khaki Kev.
Oh, that's right. I appreciate him for showing up for work as well. So that's are too far. I don't know. But that was one of the things that we asked about, is the impact for players like Quinnen Williams on the other levels of the defense. And so I was excited to see how that went. But man, since you mentioned Kenneth Murray, and I know he is not as new as the rest, but you go back to the very first drive, Kenneth Murray smashing past Ashton Jeanty and getting to Geno for an off-balance throw that led to the three and out, especially after you had your own three and out with the no George Pickens, no CeeDee Lamb. We can get back into that in a little bit, but I thought that set the tone really, really early. And then The other play, I think, you know what? I'm going to say I think this is the biggest play of the game. It's the interception by Marquise Bell that was set up by the tip from Kenneth Murray. And here's the reason. Because that was going to be an easy first down to Brock Bowers. If you go, yes, I said tip. Yeah, I know.
Bobby understands the show.
I can see
he's
the look
doing
on
extra
Bobby's
work
face.
Today, all right?
Look, Bobby, if you ever get fired from Sean and RJ, you fit in just fine on our show.
Or
so,
it would be chaos.
No, yeah, saying. Probably. So,
which is
the,
our show.
But the thing is, if you go back, I know people are focused in on the deflection, the interception. And by the way, props to Marquise Bell, 25-yard return after that. But take a look at that play again. Brock Bowers was wide open if that ball gets past Kenneth Murray for a first down, and they continue to move inside the red zone. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything for the Raiders because their offense is terrible, and you saw that yesterday. They did not thrive on the Cowboys' side of the field. But that was a huge play, not only because you got the ball back, but you saw it. That was going to be a first down. That was going to convert, you would think, into some points for the Raiders. So props to him for that play as well. I think that play was humongous.
Nick Harris with the quote from Siobhan Revelle. He played "Till I Collapse" by Eminem walking out onto the field last night, which he felt set the tone. Quote, "It felt great, man. My first time being out there in a year. A lot of people didn't expect me to play. But I know what I can do. The butterflies were left in the locker room." I like hearing that.
I do too. I have to admit, I was surprised to see him out there in coverage when I really thought we were going to see him on special teams.
I was listening.
Like, good for you.
As I was heading to the Bearded Monkey last night. Bearded Monkey, by the way, what's up? Shout out. And Forney, fantastic showing from the Bearded Monkey last night. As I was heading out there, Broadus was kind of keying me in on, hey, I'm okay, special teams. And I was like, all right, well, I'm perfectly okay if he's playing some special teams, gets his legs underneath him. And they're like, nah, screw that. We're throwing everybody right out on this field today. I love that for a variety of reasons. We'll get into that even more. But the him and Kalen Carson was good last night, dude.
And
he even put the seatbelt on at one point.
And the thing about Kalen Carson that I hope people loved is he had some difficulties, but then he kept going. And obviously you have a play that breaks up potential touchdown. And I'm with you. Like, I've kind of redefined, you know, we talk about it, new information. You redefine expectations or whatever.
This is a different team at the moment.
And so I redefined some players defensively, or maybe the defense as a whole, is can you show me some resiliency after you get punched in the face? And there were still some times when, man, the Raiders were moving the ball pretty easily. But then when it came down to it, like, you were able to hold them to a field goal or hold them to no points at all because you showed some resiliency. And I think Kalen Carson is definitely on that list from last night.
Yeah, and where did he get help from? Dudes up front, which has been so necessary. How many times last night did Geno Smith look flustered? Where he was just like, I had to throw it away because I had zero other option, and they were already all over me. They were already up in my grill, and I had to get rid of the ball somehow.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, there were moments where I looked, and it looked like Max Crosby was definitely questioning his loyalty to the Raiders. He was just like, why did I decide that I want to stay with this team? Look at what they're doing to us right now.
When he was not busy questioning the ref for what he thought should have been a false start, and they ran the play anyway. Yeah. And he's like, hold on.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, and it was interesting because Osa and Quinnen Williams kind of challenged my perception of what all they can do for this team. So Quinnen Williams, we talked about it a whole lot. You've seen his pass rush win rate drop while his rush stuffing rate has just gone, you know, off the charts. Best of his career. I believe it was the second best in the NFL going into this game. And then you look at last night, 1.5 sacks, 7 pressures, 21.4% pass rush win rate. I was not anticipating that whatsoever. And I know just one game against a offensive line that's not so great, but that, and then seeing Osa get to the quarterback more consistently, get more penetration through the line of scrimmage, I thought those were both huge developments.
This you might have not been expecting that, but do you think Eberflus was? I do, and the reason I do is because the Cowboys intentionally this season went out to get a specific area better, an area that they have neglected for 20 years, it feels like.
Right.
Maybe since Leroy Glover. It's just felt like they've been like, that is not important. And Eberflus said, it is in my defense. I need players that can play interior defense. That's what I need strong up the middle. And so they said, okay, we'll go get that for you. I think Eberflus knew that he could get that out of that player within this scheme because that's what he demands out of this scheme, is that kind of play from that group up front, but especially that group in the middle. And that helps. That just helps everything else out from there for his defense specifically. That might be the this might be the right thing, the right grouping for what he's needed all along.
Now,
but it is wild that it took a Quinn and Williams trade
yes.
to liven up that group in the middle. And also, Kevin, it's the Raiders, right? Yeah,
so. I mean, look, like, here's a great example. And don't worry, person who texted in about Guyton, we talked about that like several minutes in the pregame or before the show. We'll get to that in a second. From the 214, I don't understand this text. I'm going to read it to you verbatim.
Okay.
Y'all are delusional. The Cowboys, they say, suck. They're supposed to beat a bad Raiders team. Should have beaten the Cardinals, Panthers, and Bears. Could have won against the Packers. All right, so let's take that logic for just a second. First of all, the y'all are delusional, and they believe the Cowboys suck. Well, did you not see Corey's chart at the very beginning of the segment?
The chart again.
I feel like that really cut it through. And then I feel like this person undercuts their entire point. Yeah, sub-mediocre, so I don't know what to tell you about that. But then let's take what they said with the rest of them. Should have beaten the Cardinals, Panthers, and Bears, and could have won against the Packers. All right, well, let's consider that for just a second. You're 4-5-1. You just said three of those losses should have been wins. All right, well, that would put you at 7-2-1. You just said you should have beat the Packers. All right, well, that makes you 8-2. Pick a lane. You said the Cowboys suck, but then you also point out in your very own words in the very same text that they should probably be 8-2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you think they suck because they should be really good? I don't quite follow. And also, when all else fails, go back to the chart.
Go back to the damn chart! That's where they are right now, and that's where they've been, and that's where they are until they prove otherwise, starting with Philly on Sunday, but we'll celebrate today.
Yeah,
we'll get to Philly later
yeah, like,
in the week.
What part in that segment did you hear, this is the start of a 6-game winning streak?
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, reminding you to refer to the chart whenever it comes to your decisions on what you're going to text in today. Never forget, the chart says elite, above mediocre, mediocre, sub-mediocre, and bad.
And we're at where?
You are at sub-mediocre right now.
Gotcha.
But that doesn't mean that you can't move up. You could also move down. But after last night's game, you are where you are. Let's turn to our good friend, Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by Ford, your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how are we doing this morning?
I'm good. A little sleepy, but other than that, okay.
Thank you for waking up and talking with us. We really appreciate it. All the work you do for us.
Can you sleep on planes?
I wanted to point out to Kevin that 30 straight now.
There you go, man.
That's a good point.
So, and we talked about this to start off the show. Like, and Corey did a really good job explaining it. Two things can be true. The Raiders' offense can be terrible, but also you can think that the defense played well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at it, and I know everybody likes to qualify things, but they did what they needed to do, right? They dominated.
Yes. Yes.
That offense. As a matter of fact, you know, it was 16 points. They gifted them three, right, with the fumble. And it was at, like, the 15-yard line, and they forced them to kick a field goal. So, I thought, they played other games that you thought they were going to dominate, and they didn't do so, right?
Yep.
You know, somebody said something to me before the game, and I said, remember the Cardinals, okay? You know, they were 2-5, had lost, what, 5 straight?
Yep.
And they dominated the Cowboys. So, I thought it was a improved effort defensively. I thought that, you know, somebody said this to me before the game when talking about the new guys that were down. It was like 6 guys were going to be new on the defense. And then Jerry mentioned it this morning with you guys. It was like it was a new defense. It wasn't the same old, same old. There were new players out there, and I think for the majority, they showed up and made a difference in the game. So the fact that you held somebody to 20, not only held them to 27 yards rushing, but you forced them to give up trying to run the ball and throw those little dink-out passes to Ashton Jeanty, and it was like it seemed like he was gaining so many yards. Well, he was just trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, and I think he ended up with it was almost like 1 yard a carry or so. He had 6 catches for 27 yards. So yeah, as long as the ball's not going down the field, I'll absorb that any day.
And, hey, he averaged 1.2 yards per carry, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah, it was running the ball. So they gave up on it, right, and were forced to throw out in space. And the Cowboys are like, you know what? I'll let you have all those you want, but you're not getting the ball down the field.
You know, a player that you'd mentioned a few different times over the past 2 weeks, Jerry was really effusive with his praise of this morning, was Malik Hooker. I know we're all focused on the players back from other players back from injury and the trade players, and I appreciate all of that. But how important was it to get Malik Hooker back out there?
Yeah, that's that. You know, it's almost like, you know, we always worried about who's making the play calls, who's wearing the green dot in the helmet. But your free safety is kind of running things from behind, right? Because he can see everything. And I thought the communication, the consistency of getting guys lined up, I thought was really, really good. And I thought it was very noticeable. Now, they leaked a couple plays. I get it. But again, I thought it was an improvement that they had their two starting safeties out there. They had the two guys they acquired at the trade deadline out there, and they had the two guys coming off the reserve list out there, and you noticed everybody out there at some point in the game. So that's six guys, and the thing I noticed also was, if you look at the snap counts, they played everybody in the game. The only guy that didn't play was Joe Milton. So 23 guys on defense and 17 guys on offense, I see, got snapped. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
You kind of feel like Joe Milton should have been able to kneel the ball down then.
Yeah, right. Go ahead and kneel. And how about that, the irony? They kneeled out the game, and it was for Marshawn Kneeland.
I like the play on words, man.
I had not thought about that.
Yeah, I really do like the play on words on that. Okay. Now,
you know, that made him hit the under, right? Mickey's very concerned about the betting odds. You realize that made it hit the under, right?
No, I didn't see any of that. I was in Vegas. I couldn't look at any board.
That is true, because he, like,
true.
I was hearing last night, Babe was like, I can't even touch the slot machines here. So, will we ever truly get to the bottom of what happened with Pickens and Lamb?
Well, I think we got a pretty good idea, right? From what Jerry said this morning, sounds like
they
were late for something, and it sounds like it might have been a meeting. At least they made the charter flight, right? They weren't late for that.
In your face, and Michael Irvin.
I told you the story about Michael Irvin.
Yes, yeah, right? Yeah.
They just left him behind. It's like, what time are we supposed to leave? 2:00. What time is it? 2:05. Let's go.
Time to go.
He'll find his way to Detroit.
That being said, Pickens had a pretty good game,
pretty good.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty good. He made. I can't decide.
Corey has really high standards.
Did I like most the touchdown where he cut back and juked out four people, or the one down the sideline where he just kept picking up extra yards? Because that was
down the sideline for sure.
That was an awesome play.
Schottenheimer made mention of it. He was like there on the sideline. It's like, okay, get out of bounds, don't lose the ball, and he just kept going and going, and it was like one of those energy deals, right? He just hit fast forward and he wouldn't go down. But again, here's the deal: why do teams think they have somebody that can go man to man with him and cover him? It just surprises me, because
is his success because CeeDee Lamb
at times they're playing single safety high, mm-hmm. and before the snap, the safety who's not on the TV camera, right, is inching towards CeeDee Lamb, right? And it's like, seriously, do you see what George Pickens is doing to you? He's just going to take that guy and run that slant all day long, or run the in out pattern. And you're not going to cover him. And he ends up with 144 yards. And next thing you look, he's already got 900 yards receiving in 10 games.
Wow.
And think about that.
Yeah.
That, you know, Mickey, before this season.
And think about, not only that, and then you saw the impact the trade for Quinnen Williams was. And I wonder if those guys, and I can't remember, it might have been both, either NFL.com or ESPN, they gave the Cowboys F for that trade.
Yep.
Well, stick that F you know where.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say it.
Yeah, we wouldn't have dumped it. We would have just let it go. We would have let it ride. It would have been awesome.
But, I mean, he was, and he should have been dominant inside, right? They were without both their starting guards.
Yeah.
And they paid a heavy price. And the thing that I was most impressed with, not just his production, but he pulled everybody along with him. All of a sudden, they can't just sit there and double team Kenny Clark all day long, right? Because that ain't going to get it done. So you're going to single block him? Well, here comes Kenny Clark, and here comes Ezeraku, right? And all of a sudden, these other guys start showing up that really hadn't showed up that much previously because they were taking out the tackles and able to live by it and talk about it. But not this time. That guy is a load in the middle. And it was, like I said, it wasn't just the stats, which were impressive for a guy that had three practices with the Cowboys, but just how then they had to kind of center on him. And the other guys stepped up, and now all of a sudden Osa is getting sacks, and Kenny Clark's getting sacks, and they're putting undue pressure on Geno Smith.
You said before the season that there was a very who are you going to cover, and I think that's one of the things that's playing out, Mickey, when it comes to Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. That's starting to play out even more, but. In addition to that last night, how did you like when the Cowboys went for it on fourth down after that Lipke extra push that he got them to that spot?
Yeah, I like being aggressive and not just, irresponsibly aggressive. I think they figured, hey, we're sort of moving the football. Let's not kick another field goal, right? Or kick a field goal. Just go for it. And you can make those decisions when your defense is holding the other team to field goals, right? When the Cowboys, and I know they kicked two field goals early in the game, but it was, the outset of the second quarter, and it was 6-3. Do you realize that's the first lead they've had since they went up on the first, I believe it was the first possession against Denver, 3-0.
It's been a rough run.
They hadn't had a lead since then.
Wow.
Till that moment, right? And so playing ahead sometimes also allows you to be a tad more aggressive in decisions like that.
You know what I really liked about that going forward as well? It felt like a reward for Hunter Lipke, who turned what would have been a fourth and probably four into a fourth and one. Because that pivot move and like turn out of the tackle that he made, I thought that was a great play and ended up getting them an extra 4 points with the touchdown as opposed to the field goal.
And it was sort of a reward for him because they were using the fullback quite a bit because they needed to take care of the blocking assignments up front. And give some credit to the tight ends, too, the number of times they went two tight ends, a couple, three tight ends. It was almost like, okay, Max Crosby, you made your play. You're not going to wreck our offense. And they made a point of being able to handle him in several different ways after that hit that, I don't know, you could have made an argument for that his hand was going forward on that fumble that gifted him 3 points that, they would have only had 13 points in the game.
Well, I predicted 16, so I was okay with it,
All right, way to go.
Thank you, Mickey. I really appreciate that. The offensive line last night looked pretty, like that's the offensive line you've wanted. How did you feel about what they were able to do last night?
Yeah, that was much better than what we've seen in the last two games. You didn't see Dak running for his life the whole time. Now, he got some pressure, but it was pressure that he could escape and throw on the run if need be. They ran for, 90, or Williams ran for 93 yards. And for the majority of those, they were at least getting 3 yards a shot. At one point in the game, they were averaging 5-6 yards a carry. And it shows you what you can do if you can run the football, which they had struggled with the past two games. So what did they end up with, like 114 yards rushing, something like that?
It would only take Ashton Jeanty 90 carries to get that.
Could they have thrown one more little dump pass to the outside to him? They gave up on running the ball, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which Troy Aikman was very adamant that was a ridiculous plan on their part. But, hey, you know what? They lost. Cowboys won. Mickey, thank you very much for your time today, good sir. We will get back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go. It's game week already.
Yeah, well, here we are getting ready for Philly. There goes Mickey Spagnuolo, our Cowboys insider.
Okay, first down and about 12. And Smith hands it to Jenny in the end zone, and Ezeraku might have him in the end zone. Ezeraku got through, and it's a safety. Ezeraku's penetration stopped Jenny in the end zone, and Jenny puts both hands on his head and says, what have I done?
Brad Sham with the call right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks for being a Tolo that stands for Turn It On, Leave It On.
You know, you've quoted it all morning, the fact that Quinnen Williams got more sacks yesterday than he had all season. He also got more quarterback hits yesterday than he had all season.
What?
And he did it in the fewest snaps he's played all season.
What does that tell you?
That he's a monster and the Raiders suck.
Let's hear from Brian Schottenheimer inside the locker room. We'll take the first half of this, Kevin, after the emotions of the last 2 weeks.
Hey, listen up, listen up. Hey, before we do all the celebration stuff, hold that thing up. Hold it. So proud of you guys, man.
Amen.
Tough couple weeks. We made them proud. You guys made them proud, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, here we go. I'm back. I'm good. I'm back. All right,
I'm back. I'm good. I'm back. Tommy Yarsh was in that Cowboys locker room, and here he is from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by WinStar, the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Tommy, what's your headline for this one?
Well, it's tough to narrow it down to one because there are so many from a game like this, but I think what kind of encapsulated everything was Jerry Jones after the game saying, this one's for you, Marshawn. And, you know, it was part of the end of a quote. He was talking about how proud he was of his team and of Brian Schottenheimer and his leadership through his players. But winning a game like this, how good of therapy it was to kind of get back together, get back to playing football. And, you know, the team knew how much Marshawn loved to compete, how much he loved the Cowboys. And he saw it as a way of saying, you know, the Cowboys saying just that this one's for you, Marshawn. And you could tell that they were emotionally charged the entire night, from Oso Odighizuwa being emotional, bringing Marshawn Nealon's jersey back in the tunnel after the game to, you know, that audio that you guys just played of Brian Schottenheimer, you know, struggling to compose himself in that post-game locker room. So I think that's about how I would put it. And it's a fitting way for Dallas to win that game because they wanted to emulate the way that Marshawn Nealon played, and I think they did.
So, yeah, that's one headline right there. That's a big one, like you just mentioned there. We were talking about it right at the start of the show. There were a million different directions you could go. So let's go next to Quinnen Williams, I guess. When you see the impact that he makes, not just in terms of himself and the way that he affects the offense, but were you surprised as much as we were, it seemed like, of just how immediately other people, it feels like, on the Cowboys defense were affected and leveled up by playing with Quinnen Williams?
I think I was surprised by how quickly it happened. I was thinking, okay, you know, maybe it takes a week or two for everybody to gel together and go from there. But, I mean, it was immediate. And, you know, you think for Quinnen Williams, too, this is probably the freshest he's been maybe since the opening week of the season because he's basically had two bye weeks back-to-back. You know, the bye week going into the trade deadline, and then that was when the Cowboys were going on their bye. So he's had plenty of rest and just came out of the gate swinging. And, you know, I talked at length to you guys on when they traded for Williams and said, you know, hey, this is going to, more than anything, open up everything else for the rest of the defensive linemen, for Oso Odighizuwa, for Kenny Clark, for the pass rushers, Jadeveon Clowney, Dante Fowler, Jordan Ezeraku, you name it. And I think they did. I think that's exactly what it did. He was double teamed on half of his pass rushes, and he still got five pressures, five hits on the quarterback, one and a half sacks. And, you know, when you look back to his time in New York, the best pass rushing production that he had was with Aaron Whitecotton as his defensive line coach. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he continues to, you know, obviously he's been so dominant against the run, but if he continues to, you know, be very strong at getting to the quarterback, because he's back with, you know, the coach that helped him do that at a high level, and then you're going to see everybody else feed off of it. It was a really impressive debut.
Tommy Arsch from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Tommy, so break up your pie here of credit to the Cowboys and improvement to the Cowboys, and you are playing an awful Raiders team in terms of what we saw yesterday.
I'd say 60-40. I'd have to give 60 to the Cowboys and how they played. And then 40 to, you know, just what the Raiders are. I listened to a little bit of Broadus last night, so I hope he doesn't come after me for saying that. But look, at the end of the day, you came into last night not really knowing what you were going to get, just because it's so unpredictable, right? Like you just can't imagine what these players and these coaches as human beings have gone through in the last 12 days. And to ask them to go out and play a football game when it seems so minuscule compared to everything else that's going on in their lives is difficult. But they took a lot of pride in saying this is our opportunity to play for Marshawn and honor him through our play. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they did that on really in all three phases of the game. I would say probably their most complete performance of the year. But at the same time, you know, the Raiders are you know, they are what they are, and I think to a degree your record is what you says you what you your record tells you what you are. And sure, they could have had a couple more wins here and there, but they've struggled, and the Cowboys have struggled. But nonetheless, you know, when you go into this back half of the season and you look at the three games coming up in the next 12 days, you take all the wins you can get, and so much less on an emotional night like that. To come away with a victory is something that you have to be happy with.
Is George Pickens a top five NFL wide receiver?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Right now, I would say yes. I mean, just because he is kind of blossomed as, you know, in Pittsburgh, the narrative around him and the label attached to him, if you will, was, okay, this is just a deep ball 50-50 guy who's a freak athlete, and he can make you, you know, basically move the chains for you by just being a freak athlete and jumping over everybody. And I think he has proven this year that he's got the ability to work after the catch, what he can do to continue churning his legs. You know, I was listening to you guys earlier, and I think it was Bobby that brought up, you know, they needed 4 yards on either third down or something, and he just drug guys with him to move the chains. And, I mean, he's sticking his arms out in 50 different places to get the ball as far as he can. And, you know, some of the crossing routes where he's been able to kind of turn the corner and then cut back into the middle of the field and make guys miss. He did it again yesterday. There's the game at Carolina that looked kind of eerily similar to that touchdown, too, where he cut back into the middle of the field and made guys miss. He's showing how well-rounded he is. And, you know, in Pittsburgh, I don't think you saw as much of that. And so for that reason, obviously, you know, statistically, he's got the numbers to be up there. He's second in the league in receiving yards. And then you think of the great receivers in this league right now, you know, JSN and Jamar and Puka. But I think George Pickens is playing a style of football that is right up there with those guys.
Your thoughts, Tommy, on both receivers missing the first series and the explanations after?
Yeah, I figured it was a disciplinary issue once, you know, we saw it. And the question immediately came up of, okay, why is Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, and Ryan Flannoy starting receivers here? And I did kind of chuckle at after the game when George Pickens first got asked about it. He said it was a personnel decision. And the Raiders defense didn't end up running the personnel that they wanted to. But look, Brian Schottenheimer said from the jump that, you know, he wants to instill a strong culture and everybody's going to be held accountable. And I think there is no better way to showcase that than when you hold your best players accountable and show that, hey, you know, nobody's above the law here. And, you know, if you can do that with your best players, then that gives your locker room an understanding of, all right, this is the expectation. If you don't meet it, then, you know, there's going to be consequences for it. And you know, it's not, I don't believe this was any sort of consequence that is going to be, you know, seriously detrimental or longstanding or anything like that. I think it was just, you know, hey, we got to be better, and we're going to show why we need to be better. And everybody moved on, and we're singing Kumbaya now, I guess. I mean, you saw the video of Brian Schottenheimer going nuts and hugging both of those guys on the bench. So there's no hard feelings either way, and you know, you just kind of move on.
Do you think you would have done the same thing if it was next week against Philly?
I would like to think so, but they pay Brian Schottenheimer a whole lot more money than they pay me to make those decisions, so I'll defer to him. But, yeah, I just think that, you know, if you're going to talk so much about culture and, you know, brotherhood and accountability and things like that, if you can't do that with your best players, or you'd say, okay, well, man, we really need CD and George out there for that first drive. We can't afford to not have them out there. Let's just let this slide. Then that just makes a poor example out of, you know, what you stand for, I think. And so I commend Brian Schottenheimer for doing that.
Tommy, just like 10, 15 seconds on this last thought on it. We talked about the level George Pickens played at last night and like him dragging defenders and this seemed to like max out his effort. Do you think any of that was a response to the discipline?
Well, I think it could have been. But I think that's also just the way that he's been playing all year. I don't think that was anything new. I think that's kind of the style of play he's put out on the field. And sure, did it light up maybe an extra fire under him? Sure. But I feel like he's been consistently kind of that way when the ball's been in his hands this year.
Great stuff, Tommy. Any injury stuff that we need to know about or overshown update in the locker room after he finally came back?
Nothing that I've heard of. I think they probably came out of that game pretty good. Donovan Azaraku was the only concern for a little bit. He went down on a knee for a while, but he came back and then I think a couple of plays later made that safety. So we'll see if we hear anything else today, but it sounds like they came out pretty well.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. We'll talk on Thursday.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Tommy Yarsh back from Vegas from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resorts, our Jack Johnson ticket giveaway, and a Cowboy Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece is next.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Little Shock Jock stuff.
Brian Broaddus, you were raving about Savone Rivell making his NFL debut last night, number 34. They call him the Condor, right? Because he's so freaking long.
The length, yeah.
The length. I mean, it jumps off the screen. When you look at him, you're like, this dude,
big dude.
This guy's the real deal. And looks like, according to Nick Harris, I'm seeing that Savone Rivell Jr. said he played in his headphones walking out onto the field last night to set the tone for his debut. Eminem's Till I Collapse.
Oh, that's a banger.
Which is just a no-brainer, get you hyped up kind
of
game.
How's that one go?
I think it's like,
this will be fun.
You got it.
It's just, it's Eminem. It's like one of those hard-hitting Eminem's, like, Till I Collapse.
Yeah.
I'm doing something.
Circling around Till I Collapse.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. But it just freaking fires you up. It does. Like, in the gym, pre-game, something like that.
But we can't recall how we do it.
I can't. I don't really want to give you a rendition here.
Okay.
And
oh, it's the one with Nate Dogg.
Left, right.
It
starts off slow and then it builds up.
I'm just glad he didn't do Lose Yourself. I feel like that one's played out.
Agreed.
Like that one wouldn't motivate me. It would bore me.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the one that Lucius will play sometimes when we do the sound off, and it's Eminem and 50 Cent. And now I'm trying to remember what that one's called, but that's another one that, like, just totally hits the way it needs
we'll
to.
Take Broaddus, your you word. Get that. We'll take your word for it there. Like, we'll take your word for it there, Sparky.
The only way it's true is if I could just belt it out right now.
I'd sing it.
Wolchuk
was trying to help you, and you weren't going with it. Wolchuk was trying to kind of help you a little bit.
To the day that I drive, you never say that I'm not killing them.
And you can sing.
Not.
You can actually sing.
Yeah, but
sing.
This isn't singing.
Yeah,
no, this is spitting bars at a high level. Either way, I respect Savone Rivell Jr. He was locked in. He was locked in, and he dominated. That's an all-time pregame playlist kind of song. It just is.
We'll take it.
And so he gets it. He knows ball, and we are happy to have him here with the Dallas Cowboys.
And he's going
to
be on the Cowboys Hour tonight.
There we go.
And I don't know if you guys heard this.
Go Buddy Pirate.
He's actually going to be on the Cowboys Hour tonight.
Tonight?
Right here on 105.3 The Fan and the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network.
Yeah. Him and Brad
show worthy.
At 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's Nicole Hutchinson. Yeah, it's going to be star-studded as always. Okay, a couple of things that jumped out to me last night, other than I think the star of the show, of course, being George Pickens. Do you guys know what his yak number was last night?
77.
77, Broaddus has been studying the next-gen stats.
I got a three-hour post-game.
Yep, we talked about it on the post. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
77.
Really appreciate it.
Hey, I was like zombie mode in the final 2 minutes of that game.
I don't want to hear it.
They're going with the kneel down?
Nope.
All right, very good. Bang, I'm gone. He was crazy. No, not you boys.
Not us.
You guys were in for the long haul.
We Broaddus, were for the long haul.
Broaddus had to scream at Cowboys fans for 3 hours.
Yeah.
He was rude.
We've never seen this before, have we, though?
Fire.
We've never seen the onside kick punt.
No.
That is a new one.
Wasn't that interesting?
I would have called the fair catch.
The fair catch.
Yeah. I think he wanted to, and he put that.
But he was kind of unsure.
That thing bounced, and if it could have hit him, and
yeah,
I would have gone for the fair catch.
Agreed.
Could the Raiders have brought that down? Could they have ran and grabbed it?
Yes.
Yeah. As long as he goes 10 yards.
But if he calls fair catch,
then it's
but they've got it. Could be fair catch interference. It could be interference. if they run into him.
Yeah, I feel like all 32 teams are coaching that up this week in their special teams meetings. Like, guys, we had a situation. Nobody knew what to do.
Yeah.
Just always call for the fair catch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
I think Pickens wanted to. His arm went up,
it
and then
did.
It went down.
Yeah.
And then that ball bounced, and if it would have ricocheted off him, that could have been a bad situation.
That's the guy you want, though, because when you think about ball trajectory, who's the number one savant
Pickens.
When it comes to ball trajectory?
It's George.
It's George. Okay, yeah. So if he didn't go for the fair catch, I assume that something in his crazy ball projecting or trajecting brain just knew, like the alert signals went off, this thing's going to bounce, it's going to go right into me, I go out of bounds, we're good here. But yeah, I think that's the one time to catch really the entire league off guard.
Well, yeah, because it was a unique situation, right? It was off the safety.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They have to, you have to free kick it. So you can't do your traditional onside kick.
But you have to tell them you're going to onside kick it.
Yeah, that with is, the new rules.
Yes. Yeah. What do the next-gen stats say about how high that ball went? Because it seemed like it was about 500 yards.
Big time hang time. It hung.
Did that break a record for hang time?
Does it say that? It's like a Serge Ibaka.
It went. No, I don't know. Wolchuk's the expertise on that, so I'll take his word for it. That was special.
On expertise on what?
Just stop it.
Hang time. Hang down. Time? Hang time. Sorry. The other thing that...
Girth and tonnage.
A couple of other things here that I thought were pretty incredible.
Sure.
Kenneth Murray tipping that ball.
Yes.
The way he did that. That was not a run-of-the-mill, I'm standing here and you're throwing it. Yeah. This dude, head on a swivel. This is my biggest gripe with linebackers in the NFL when they're playing coverage, is they just go cover grass. They're in zone coverage and they're acting like, oh, I don't have anybody. No, it doesn't matter that this guy's my threat. It doesn't matter that he's coming across the field right now. It doesn't matter that the guy I thought was my threat went away from me and now there's got to be somebody coming else, right?
That's a novel idea, playing your assignment.
We don't do route concepts where everybody goes to one side. So when your nearest threat goes away from you, just look the other way because somebody inevitably is coming that way.
They got it.
He finally did the thing where head's on a swivel and he runs. He does like this zigzag run thing to make sure he's stays in the lane. It was awesome.
Yeah,
that was teaching tape for the first time all season. Kenneth Murray, and maybe it's the Logan Wilson effect.
I would say a little
fire under that tushy.
Ooh, all of a sudden, Overshawn and Wilson are here. Ooh.
Let me go ahead and act like a professional here for a second.
Oh, Kenny Clark played a little better with
Quinnen.
Right. Quinnen Williams showing up.
That's why coaches want to encourage competition at every turn internally. Yeah. I also think for the old man body, just having that bye week meant the world to Kenny.
Oh, Kenny.
To Kenny, yeah. Yeah. Quinnen had the two.
Quinnen had the two.
Yeah, that was a really, really awesome play right there. And then we'll close.
Second and 10. Prescott fakes a toss right. He's got Lamb wide open on the right side of the end zone. And the second R and Raiders. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
Brad Sham with the call in your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Lamb and Pickens, the benched boys, as I called them last night, combined for 14 catches, 2 touchdowns, 200 yards, CeeDee himself 5 for 66, and this is a Cowboys Tuesday. We're going to go commercial-free in the expressway at 7:20 with the Brian Broaddus audio that many told us to play. We got a Jack Johnson ticket giveaway. We will ask Reddit, and then Jerry Jones live at 8:30 to celebrate the 33-6 win. But it started off with some controversy and some concern as CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were benched for the first series. What type of scramble did this set off in the Vegas press box, which apparently is different from all other stadiums?
Yeah, it's very different. So I've never seen a press box like this. They designed it this way.
Uh-huh.
The visiting media is on one end of the stadium, and they put the home media on the other end. So you're not sitting and commingling with the same media people. It's
weird. Capulets of the Montagues.
It's just really weird. And then they've got like the coaching booths and the radio booths in between it. So it's like I didn't see a single Raiders reporter while I was there.
So did you guys first start noticing what had happened?
So,
and then the follow up.
I think it typically starts whenever you see like a first draw, like a first play. You're not always, usually you will just kind of scan through. I know I was not looking at receivers. On the first play, I was looking to see who came out at right tackle. I was trying to see if Nathan Thomas was going to be out there. So I had my eyes focused on Thomas and was looking at that. And I seem to remember Turpin was confused about if he was supposed to be on or come off. And so I remember thinking there was confusion at receiver. And so then when I saw it the second time, I was like, okay,
second play, I was literally doing gymnastics. Like, I was doing these mental gymnastics of, like, Ryan Flannoy was close with Marshawn Nyland. Is this, like, a tribute of some sort? Like, I really couldn't figure it out. And then by the third time, it's like, oh, no, they're just standing there on the side. They got in trouble.
And Chop, I was panicking with this bet. I was scared.
For sure.
I was scared to death.
Oh, no doubt.
Three and out.
Yeah,
and then I was ready to go off on Schottenheimer. It costs us all this money. But I was freaking out after the offense performed like that.
Right. And look, at the end of the day, it was like, all right, it's the Raiders. Okay.
You can never say that with this team.
But like,
can never say it with the Raiders. The Sharps had the Raiders.
That's right. But like, you know, this was like, you know, the Packer game, you know, where it's 40-40, points and possessions are at a premium. You know, you look at it much differently. Like, if this was one of those games and they wound up losing this game last night, it's a much different discussion.
Let's try to get an explanation. We'll ask Jerry at 8:30. Let's start off with George Pickens. Why didn't you and Lamb start?
Yeah, certain personnel. We kind of thought they was going to come out in certain stuff, but they didn't. They started kind of hunching down on the run, so started throwing it around a little bit.
All right, so there's George being a smartass.
I don't know that he's being a smartass. I think he was just like, nobody's going to tell anyway. So I don't think he anticipated that Schottenheimer was going to say they were in trouble.
He didn't have to say they're in trouble. We saw him not on the field. He knew the question was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to tell us that you're going jumbo goal line in Madden in order to go ahead and tush-push?
They came out in a three-receiver set.
13 personnel, baby.
They were in a three-receiver set on third down, and they were not out there.
So you're telling us you can't block. Right, George. All right, CD, let's see if you're willing to tell the truth.
You and George weren't in on the first drive of the game, but then both of you had great individual games. Kind of what went into that?
Man, just stepping up and playing how we play, man. Do what we do. We out there for a reason, and it was fun.
What was the reason for not playing?
I'm not going in depth on that, honestly. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not.
I'm disappointed in the two for the answers. I don't know what happened. I'm assuming they were late to a meeting or something like that. We're seeing this kind of it was a downfall of this throughout the league. Keon Coleman in Buffalo. Abdul Carter with the New York Giants. Did they miss curfew? Were they late to a meeting? Own it. Just take some ownership and some accountability to stand up there and say, we got to be better. We were late to a meeting, or we didn't do something that is very small, but we should have done it. Just own it. I am worried. I think a lot of times something I try to do is not get too, and Choppy, I think we both try to do this, not get too caught up in the win or the loss, right? Mm. This is what A.J. Brown's been going off about in Philadelphia. Our offense sucks. We're winning. It's a problem. Are you getting away with things? The reality should still be called out. And the reality I'm going to call out is I still am worried about – I love the friendship. I'm worried about the maturity of the both of them. George has done a couple of things throughout the year to get the 15-yard penalties, and he's going to continue to do it. He never stops.
Oh, for sure.
He never, ever stops. CD wants to give, you know, he got swag. He's dripping swag.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to get him to buy clothes for us with our $300 budget in Oxnard. He laughed at us. CD's got the cool celebrations and the waves and all that stuff when it's going well. He's the most depressed and upset on the sideline when they're getting their ass kicked or they lose a game. Be a leader and own it and just admit it was something small. The time to do it is after a win. I texted you guys and I ended up being wrong about it. I'm like, they're going to sing. They're going to sing the truth afterwards, after this type of W. Let's see if Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach, does.
Yeah. Again, it's tough, you know. Made a coach's decision. There were some things that were missed, and so I had a conversation with those guys, and that was easy. But, I mean, you look at the energy those guys play with. You know, Clarence, I like, you know, they jump started the offense when they got back in there. They didn't hang their heads. They didn't do any of that stuff. And that's why I love those guys, man. Again, this was a great team win.
I have no problems with Schottenheimer right there, basically saying some stuff was missed. You want to keep things in-house.
Yeah.
I would have liked the guys to own it themselves a little bit more. And then everyone obviously loves seeing the emotion of Schottenheimer. Good cop, bad cop, good parent, bad parent. He was all in one when he goes to the sidelines and he's celebrating and beating his chest.
Yeah, I don't need an explanation. It's not my business. I don't need an explanation.
on what exactly happened. I don't need to know what happened. I don't think any of us deserve to know what happened.
Okay, why? We're fans of the football team. What are you talking about?
If
they got benched for the first half and they lost, would you feel like we should know?
First quarter, maybe.
But you have a take on the punishment. So why don't you have a take on why they were punished?
I do think some things are meant should be kept in house. A lot of discipline, like what exactly they did.
Okay.
Should be kept in-house. Not the punishment necessarily, but what exactly they did, I have no problem with them keeping it in-house.
Fine. I would just like them to be like, we messed up.
I did something wrong. Yeah, that's fine.
We got punished. We deserved it.
Sure.
Got to be better.
Absolutely.
Not, you're coming out with jumbo personnel.
Like, my first instinct would be to lie. So that's why me and Pickens are kind of, you know, we're kind of bros here on this one, because his first instinct was just to lie.
Yep.
That's me.
Lamb's answer was bad. Pickens, I kind of expect him to say something sarcastic. He gives 10-second answers all the time. Lamb was bad because Lamb is...
Every time I see CD, I get ready for that final step of leadership. I pump the brakes.
Which he's wearing a captain's patch now, and he's generally been good at owning when he doesn't do what he's supposed to. He will fail occasionally, but he's usually mature enough to go, I screwed up. I shouldn't have done this. I did something wrong. Yada, yada, yada. To give him the slightest amount of credit, he didn't lie about anything or whatever. He just clearly said he didn't want to talk about it.
Yep.
And he said, not going to go into detail about it. But you don't have to go into detail about it. Just say, I failed.
Yep.
I don't want to go into specifics, but I failed. I dropped the ball, both literally and figuratively. I dropped the ball. But I don't want to get into those specifics, but I just need to be better, and I will be better, and it's not going to be a problem anymore, so we don't need to talk about it. And to that clip, right after that of Shoddy, he got a follow-up from Clarence Hill where Clarence was like, missed practice, meetings, curfew, and Shoddy just nodded and went, couple things missed.
Yeah.
And so Shoddy was clearly just not wanting to get into details either, but again, you don't have to. You can just say, I screwed up, and it won't happen again, so we don't need to get into details.
Now... let's talk about the decision to do it from Brian Schottenheimer. RJ, you're probably the most worked up over this.
It doesn't impact the game in this situation because it's the Raiders. If this was Green Bay and it's 40-40, if this was the Giants where points and possessions were at a premium, to me, like, make him run gassers all day in Wednesday's practice. Don't even let him practice. To me, hurting the team, and it wasn't one series. It turned out to be one possession. There was only, that's 10% of all the possessions they had in the entire game. 10%.
So that was a series.
A possession and a series, they're the same thing.
Well, each set it down.
You mean a set it down?
So, like, you know, you're looking at 10% of all the times they touched the football. In this game, it didn't matter, right? You play Kansas City, you play Detroit, you play the Chargers, right? Whatever, right? Philadelphia again, that could matter. Like to me, I don't know, number one thing for me is... don't hurt the team. You want to punish them. Punish them. You know, make them run. You know, make them clean the toilets. Whatever. Right. Do something else.
Yeah.
You cannot impact the football game.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Like, you know.
I get it.
You know, and it's I don't know.
I would be interested to hear on all the different levels of sport. Like, if your kid missed practice, like, how would someone on your kid's little league team be punished?
That's happened. Like, if they missed practice, the coaches sat them or whatever.
Okay, so it affected the team.
Yeah, it did. And it's, you know.
You don't like it.
I don't like that.
My take is we can't continue to talk about culture and then have a problem with this because we desperately want to win a football game. I'm talking about myself. I'm big on the culture thing. It was the C word the entire offseason. And we can't be hypocrites. I can't be a hypocrite. If you want to talk about a way to do it that truly is a punishment, is making them run wind sprints after practice for 20 minutes enough of a punishment? The message Brian Schottenheimer sends here is, look what you did to everyone else. Look at your selfishness. And I'm being extreme here. I don't know what happened. Look at what your lack of detail. Look at what your own decision did in screwing over the rest of your offense and everyone coming off the field on a 3-and-out. So I'm going to support Brian Schottenheimer on this one.
Yeah, I support it 100%. So did you have a problem with Diggs getting benched? for a series or two, couple weeks back?
This is like, maybe this is the gambler in me. That's like, you know, when one receiver's out, that's one thing. When two are out, you got a cluster. It's much more impactful.
Sure.
Right? Losing one individual player. If they sat one individual player, it's a little bit different. But no, I don't like...
How does he look at the rest of the locker room, and how does he look at Diggs when he goes, he was punished this way? And you're not going to do the same thing to them? You're going to punish them in secret? Like you're
that's
really...
Fair.
You're damaging culture at that point. Also, Lamb and Pickens are not out there 100% of the time. They are going to take off about 10 plays every game. They're going to be off the field. The reality is that it's kind of a... It's more a public punishment than it is an actual application, because those three plays, I'm sure they would have adjusted and they still would have played about their normal snaps. It just would have changed when they were off the field. But no, I think in terms of when you want to talk about impact, scrubbing the toilets or running wind sprints, that's not nearly as big as CD, who's trying to own a leadership thing, being very publicly punished, and George Pickens, who's trying to uphold a certain personality type as he's about to try and get paid, being very publicly punished.
It's a public shaming, there's no doubt, and that may have more of an impact than just having them run. I totally agree with that. I get what you're saying. And I understand what you're saying, Sean, and I agree, you know, long term.
And by the way, I think, you know, like 65% of Cowboy fans were in agreement with you. Like, come on now, but that's the...
It's the culture, I get it.
But,
we're playing a long game.
But it's also wanting to win the football game. It's like, okay, if you're 6-1, it's like I got tweets supporting Schottenheimer when they were up 16. If they were down 16, I guarantee you those same tweets would not have happened. It's easier to look back and say that when you're up in the football game, but a lot of Cowboy fans were angry like you were.
This of all weeks, too. Marshawn Nealon died. They were all very much on being close and everybody being together and doing what they were supposed to do, and George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb clearly did not uphold that standard with something. And so I think also it mattered what week it was that Shotty was like, no, we're not going to let this slide.
877-881-1053. What are they texting? Frank LaFranco, injury attorney text line. In favor, mad, against, supporting, or do we have the text line down like Twitter?
It's up and it's all over the place. Yeah. Got to do the culture. The whole point is showing that actions have consequences. It can affect the team. And then on the other side, it's, you know, you can't hurt the actual game.
All right, so there it is. Pretty split on a Cowboys Tuesday. Why is everyone telling us we have to play Brian Broaddus in the post-game show? We go commercial-free in the expressway with a Jack Johnson ticket giveaway next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer.
Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.